shall reign forevermore. Isn't that good? The babe born in a manger, man, the virgin-born Son of God is going to reign eternally. What a Savior. What a plan God has laid out for us through Jesus. If you would open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. We are in the middle of a series, Home for the Holidays, and I'm going to kind of recap some things that we've talked about over the past several weeks, and we're going to talk about something different tonight. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 is going to be our text. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to pray, and then we'll read the scriptures together tonight. I don't want to be antagonistic. But I'm going to be. Sorry. Just as a side note, sometimes we sing new songs, and I know there's some criticism sometimes, and I want to help you out a little bit. One of the criticisms I've heard about some newer music is how it repeats itself over and over, and I've heard a lot of mockery of that. And I want to encourage you, if you're still a little bit resistant to newer music, read Psalm 136 sometime, and then say something to me about repetition in a song. David did it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so you can't say that's a bad thing. And by the way, repetition's good. Amen. Because repetition's a key to learning. So I don't know why, if it's just me and my snarkiness, or maybe it wasn't. Maybe that was Spirit-led. I just felt the need to say something about that, so I did. All right, moving on. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's pray, and then we'll read. Brother Tom, would you lead us in a word of prayer before we read? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." Amen. Please be seated. So as we've been studying about home for the holidays, returning to and dwelling in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the principle is this, we're trying to get to is this: Jesus Christ saves us by faith in him. Amen. Right? It's the gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's where we find salvation. But being saved isn't just about a moment in your life. It's about your whole life. He changes your eternity, but he changes your day-to-day life. And that ought to be lived out in our homes. And so that's what we're really trying to get to. So the hope is that we can walk away from this series and we can say, in our home, we follow Jesus and grow together in the gospel. That we would follow Jesus as a family, that we would grow in the gospel together as a family. We would also say we live in forgiveness. I have been forgiven, and so I'm forgiving others. And I'm going to be forgiving to those in my family, those in my church family, and others in the church family and in my house are going to be forgiving to me. Aren't you glad that people are forgiving? You know, when they are. I'm so thankful that people have been gracious to me and forgiven me. Because I've done a lot of things to need to be forgiven for. And so we live in forgiveness. Number three, we cultivate a culture of gratefulness. We want to cultivate a home that is filled with gratitude. We live in a society that's very entitled mentality, that people think they're owed everything. And friend, we don't want to get what we deserve. Right? If we got what we deserved, we would end up separated from God in the lake of fire forever. That's what I deserve. And if you didn't know it, that's what you deserve too. That's what we deserve. Our sins have separated between us and God. And were it not for his grace that Christ came and paid the price for our sin, we would be eternally separated from him in torment. So we We want to develop and cultivate a culture of gratefulness in our home, that we realize that every good thing we have in our life is a mercy of God. We're grateful. We're thankful. We want to teach our kids to be thankful, right? Amen. And to really be. I know you teach them that from the time they're little, right? Anytime somebody gives them something, what do you say? Amen. Right? I mean, nobody's ever said that to their kid. Yeah. We teach them to say thank you. Why? Because we want them to learn to be grateful. And by the way, adults, grown-ups, when somebody is kind to you, what do you say? Right, you say thank you. Be grateful. And then we learn this. We fight the enemy, not each other. We fight the enemy, not each other. We fight for each other, not against each other. We don't fight for each other, not against each other. That's at home especially. Fight for each other. Fight the enemy, not each other. And in the church, too. We don't want to fight each other. We want to fight for each other. And then we talked about this the last couple of times, is that we navigate trials biblically. We've talked a lot the last few sermons about grief. We've talked about loss. We've talked about trials and difficulties and heartache, and how we can't go over it. We have to go through it, and how we want to navigate those things biblically. And we want to demonstrate that. We want to lead in that as parents and grandparents. We want our children and grandchildren to see us navigate trials right, that we're pushing through by faith in Jesus. We're going to confront the reality of hard times in this world. Everybody has hard times. Everybody goes through trials. Everybody has difficult things. And we're going to confront those things. We're going to move into them. And we're going to confront them through conversation. We're going to talk to God about it. We're going to take our things to God. We're going to bring our burdens to Him, our griefs, our sorrow, our anger, our confusion. We're going to bring it to God. And we're going to be real before Him. And tonight, I just want to speak to you briefly about this. We work together in the kingdom of God. We work together in the kingdom of God. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, he says, "We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain." So you'll notice "we then," he's continuing a thought from the previous chapter. So what do? Well, we go back and look and see what he's talking about. So back up to chapter 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. I bet it's a familiar verse to some of you here tonight. "For the love of Christ does what?" Yeah. And just as a side note, some of you guys have probably been wondering about what Bible version I've been reading lately. I'm still reading the King James. It's just when I read sometimes, I change the F's to S's because it's really hard to say "constraineth." Go ahead, try it. Say "constraineth." Yeah, isn't that fun? So sometimes when I'm reading, I just, in my head, I automatically change it to "constrains." It's the same word, okay? Okay, just so you know. "The love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." So our text tonight said, "As workers together with him, that you receive not the grace of God in vain." What is the grace of God? Well, every good thing we have is the grace of God, but ultimately, the grace of God, the unspeakable gift, is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That in the fullness of time, he made Jesus, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might be made the children of God, the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God in Christ. And so God gave Jesus. His love constrains us because we understand, we judge, we perceive, we discern rightly that if Jesus died for everyone, and he did, then everyone was dead in their trespasses and sins. Okay, let's just clear this up. Who was dead in trespasses and sins? All mankind. Who did Jesus die for? All the dead ones. All the dead ones. Everyone who was dead in their trespasses and sins, Christ died for. And that he died for all, they which live. Well, how do you get life if you're dead? Through Jesus. By grace, through faith, you're made alive. By grace, through faith, you're justified. By grace, through faith, you are given new life in Jesus. So those who are made alive, how does that happen? Through faith. So from this moment on, from the moment that you get life in Jesus on for the rest of eternity, you should not live unto yourself, but you should live rather unto the one who died for you and rose again. So the question tonight is, we understand the grace. The grace is that Jesus died for you and rose again. And if you trust in him, you're not dead in your trespasses and sins. Now you're dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ. And if that's true, you've received his grace. So the question for everyone here watching online is, have you received that grace? Have you received the grace of God through faith in Jesus? Guys, you're not dead anymore. Now you're alive. I mean, I don't know if you're with me, if you're tracking, if you're comprehending what we're saying is you were dead on your way to hell, but through the grace of God, now you have life. Isn't that good news? It is the best news. This is the grace. And what did you do to earn it? I mean, what did you do? I mean, I ask people all the time, do you know what's going to happen to you when you die? Have you ever been born again? We ask that question a lot of different ways. They're like, oh, yeah, I did this, and I did that, and I do this. And I'm like, you don't understand. If you have received the grace of God, it's not by what you've done, because if it was by works, then it wouldn't be grace. And if it's grace, then it can't be any measure of works. And so God has freely given it. It's grace. It's a gift. And he's given you that grace. So have you received that grace? All right, then you shouldn't receive it in vain. What does that mean? Verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, or to know, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, though Jesus knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So here it is. Jesus Christ, he died for us. He rose again. He became sin. Literally, he took our sin onto himself. Spiritually, he took sin onto himself. And he died as our substitute. He died as our sacrifice. He died in our place. He took our punishment on himself so that we could be made new creatures in Christ. So when you are saved, you are made a new creature in Christ. You're a new creation. The old man is gone, passed away, and the new man rises. And by the way, that's what baptism pictures, that dying of the old man and the resurrection to a new life. Does baptism wash away your sins? No, baptism doesn't save you. It doesn't wash away your sins, but it is the answer of a good conscience to God. And it does demonstrate, picture publicly what Christ did for you. Very good. So if you've trusted Jesus and you've not been baptized, you need to do that. It's what the scripture teaches us that you do. And it doesn't save you, but it shows that you have been saved. So Christ died, rose again. He makes you a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become or becoming new. Not only did he save you in a moment and gave you eternal life, delivered you from the penalty of sin, but he is working to sanctify you. He's working to grow you. He's working to build you up and change you and make you a new creature in Christ. He has given you a new life. You are a new creature, and he's working to change you progressively. He's working to deliver you from sin's power day by day, right? Because how many of us, the day we got saved, we just, like, we woke up and we were exactly like Jesus? Some of you just, like, you got down, you prayed, Jesus saved you, you got up, and, like, he's done working on me. I'm everything I ought to be. Like, no, right? That was pretty good, though. I just made that up on the fly right there. See that? No, he's not done working on us. We're not everything we ought to be. No, nobody gets up from the altar, nobody, or wherever you got saved. Some of you got saved in different places, right? So how many of you got saved at home? A few of you? How many of you got saved, like, in a car or truck, in a vehicle? How many of you got saved, like, at church? Huh. Church camp? Somewhere else. I'm running out of ideas. Somewhere else. Okay, good. People get saved all kinds of places. I know people have been saved on the side of the road in the ditch. My dad, when he was saved, he got saved at work. He was under conviction, couldn't take it anymore. He just got down on his knees and prayed under his desk at work. Right? I mean, does it matter? No, you can be saved anywhere. But nobody got up from that and like, hey guys, look at me. I'm just like Jesus now. So you are saved and you are a new creature, but old things are passed away. All things are becoming new. He's working to change you, to help you put off the old man, put on the new man, and be new in Christ. So he's working. He's transforming you. Now, then he did this. Verse 18, all things are of God, who's reconciled to us by him, unto himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile. That has the idea of restoring something. That has the idea that something that was meant to be together was taken apart, was separated, and is now being put back together. There is a sense of renewal and reconciliation, which is just fascinating to me because I was born in sin. I was born with a sin nature. I was born deserving hell. But God used the word reconciliation to say, I wanted you to be with me. I intended for you to be with me. I intended for us to be together eternally. I didn't ever want us to be separated because of sin, but I made a way. Though we were torn apart by your sin, I made a way, God says, so that you can be brought back to me, that what I intended could be made right eternally. Isn't that good? Like, I'm gonna make things the way they were supposed to be, and I did it through the death of my son Jesus, he says. And so now he has reconciled us to himself, and he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, this has to start with and involve what we call evangelism. Evangelism is the idea of telling the good news. And I just want you to be honest for a second tonight. Those of you that have been saved for a minute, how many of you have been saved for a while? You know I should be evangelistic. Like, I know I should tell other people about Jesus. Could you just raise your hand? Like, I know I should do that. Okay. Now, how many of you who know you ought to sometimes are scared to? Okay, that's me too. I get scared. It's silly, I know. But I want you to try to look at it in the light that the scripture gives it to us. You have been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. True? By the free gift of grace, by the love and mercy of God, by nothing that you did. Jesus did it all. You just believed it. And because of that, he reconciled, he restored you to a right relationship with himself. And he says, now I'm giving you the ministry of reconciliation. So what it is God restored you to himself through Jesus just by hearing and believing the gospel. He says, now I want you to do that ministry to help other people hear this good news so that they could be reconciled to God too. That doesn't sound scary to me. Somebody that's separated from God, somebody who is lost, somebody who is without God and without hope in the world, somebody who is dead in their trespasses and sins, God says, listen, Isaac, I want you to go and help them to be reconciled to me. You don't have to do anything. You just have to tell them. Like, I already did it all. Jesus did it all on the cross. He said, it is finished. I just need you to go and be my messenger. You just tell them what I did. And he says, Isaac, I want you to go do the ministry of reconciliation. That means you just tell them how to be reconciled to me. That's all you got to do is tell them. That doesn't sound so scary to me. And when you think about what the goal is, I want to help somebody who is separated from God, somebody who's far from God, be made right with God. That's not scary. That's exciting. That's awesome. And what a ministry he's given us. Now, let me ask you this. This ministry of reconciliation, did God give it to the apostles? It's not a trick question. Yes. Did he give that mission, that ministry of reconciliation, did he give it to the pastors and evangelists that we read about in the Bible, men like Philip? Did he do that? Okay. Did he give it to pastors and missionaries that we read about in history, like Hudson Taylor and I don't know all the rest of them, D.L. Moody and Spurgeon. Did he give that ministry to them? Okay. I'll tell you tonight, he gave that ministry to me. But I want to ask you this. Has he given that ministry to you? Boy, I hope you understand that he did. He gave it to every man in this church who's been reconciled to God. He gave you the ministry of reconciliation. Every grandpa, every dad, every brother, every son. You know what, ladies? Every woman in this church, he's given you, if you've been reconciled to God, he's given you the ministry of reconciliation. Every grandma, every mom, every daughter, every sister, everyone. If you've been reconciled to God, you've been given the ministry of reconciliation. So that ministry, God bless you, is to take the gospel to other people because we've been reconciled to God and we've been made ambassadors for Christ. I'm going to wrap it up tonight. There's just some great truths here that I'm leaving. Please read and study this out on your own. I just want you to get this. We're laborers together with God. And I'm a pastor, so it's seems obvious. Well, of course you have the ministry of reconciliation, but you know what? Melissa does too. And Abigail and Josiah and Mike and Jonathan, my kids who are saved, who have been reconciled to God, they have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So what do? We want to labor together. We want to work together with God. Look at verse 1 we read. After he talks about all of this reconciliation, this ministry, and being ambassadors for Christ, he says, we then as workers together with him. Do you get that? Paul's saying we as workers together with God, we beg you, we plead with you that you don't receive the grace of God in vain. What does that mean? I believe, at least in part, he's saying this. If you've been given the grace of God, don't waste it by not sharing it with somebody else. If you've received reconciliation, don't let that be empty. Don't let that be vain. Don't let that be pointless and fruitless by not doing the work that God's called you to do, because we get to work together with him. And that's what it ought to be in our homes, that we don't just celebrate what God's done for us and rejoice in what God's done for us. We do that, but we also work together to do the work that he's called us to do. Okay? Hey, this is a tiny picture. We're gonna close our service here in a minute. And we've got this crazy, crazy thing that we do. We've got these little plastic baggies. And we've got candy because we believe in helping people rot their teeth, I guess. I don't know. And keep everybody's blood sugar up in our community. We got these little plastic baggies and we've got these candies. And then we've got these gospel tracts that say Merry Christmas. And then in the inside, it's got a gospel presentation for how someone who has not been reconciled to God can be reconciled to God. And we're going to take these little baggies, and we're going to take these candies, and we're going to take these gospel tracts, and we're going to put them in the little baggie and seal it up. And then Saturday, we're going to get as many of you as who will help. We're going to go out into the crowds that are going to be here for the Christmas parade, and we're going to give them to people. We're going to do the craziest thing in the world. We're going to go up to strangers and say, Merry Christmas. And we're going to hand them a little bag. You know what they're going to do? They're going to say, thank you. And we're going to pray that people will take those. And maybe while they're eating a mini Snickers, they're going to open that up and they're going to read the gospel. And they're going to, yeah, that's sweet, but this is sweeter. Right? They're going to read the gospel. We're going to pray that God will use the gospel tracts that we give out to bring people to faith in Jesus. That's what we're going to do. And I love it. Guys, when we go back here and everybody's working together and everybody's bagging the stuff up and some of you are sneaking candy, I know how you are. But we're working together for the purpose of putting the gospel in other people's hands. That's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. There's a lot of ways we can do it. Talking to our family members, talking to our friends. But we want to make sure that we're faithful to get the gospel to others. Let's stand together. We're going to pray, and here's what I want to say to you tonight. If you're in this room and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you know that if you were to die tonight, you know in your heart you would not go to heaven. Friend, listen, Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he wants to spend eternity with you. And if you'll just do this, repent. That means to change your mind. Turn away from your sin and unbelief. Put your trust in Christ alone. Believe that he died for you and rose again. Repent and believe. Turn away from your sin, believe, trust that Jesus died for you and rose again. You can call on his name and be saved. The scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You'll be saved tonight. If you're watching online, you're in this room, trust in him. receive his grace. And then if you've received his grace, don't let it be in vain, but work together with him. Work together with others. Work together in the church. Work together in your home for the kingdom, for his purposes. Let's pray together. And where you're standing tonight, you can respond in faith and obedience. And we pray that God will bless you. I'm going to ask Brother Ryan Barnes, if you would, to lead us in this prayer. Amen.